Welcome to the Ignite Podcast, where you'll discover the secrets to ignite the growth of your agency.
We've just worked with a billionaire. He loved the fact that it was an independent firm and we were earning our own coin. There are red flags at valuations, even sometimes before the valuations. And I just think we need to get better as a team at trying to understand, are these guys going to be difficult clients?
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at AJHQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day.
Best of all, it's free.
Here are your hosts, Sam and Phil.
Welcome to the Ignite podcast, and we have a special guest today, the lovely Edward Hartson, looking very dapper. If you can't see the video, you're missing out, because not only is he looking very dapper, his office is looking very dapper. What is that behind you, Edward?
You're very kind, Sam. I have a basement office in my York operation, and it's actually a canvas print of a wine cellar. It's not a real wine cellar.
Oh, is that what it is, a wine cellar? I thought it was a library, but I like it even more now.
No, it's the bottom of we have a townhouse near the city walls, and I don't know, maybe one day it would have been a wine cellar, but sadly there's no wine left.
It's brilliant. I think it's a fantastic idea. I think all agents should do this. All agents should have a mock wine cellar in their basement. And maybe actually we don't need CGI after all. We can just do this everywhere, drop big canvas backdrops
in every house you go to. Anyway,
So, Edward, tell us a little bit about you and your agency.
So the agency has been going for 32 years. We started as a Knight Frank associated office, which at the time was the only one in the world. That worked quite successfully. We very amicably left Knight Frank just before I joined the firm, actually, sort of, it was about 2005, 2006. We really just do stuff at the upper end of the market. Our sort of average sale is sort of 1.3, 1.4 these days. We do smaller stuff, but it's generally got to be period cottages, things like that, in nice estate villages. So we set out our store quite well. One office, but we cover a huge patch. So we go all the way over to the coast, which is about an hour or so from here. We have quite a big part of our business is coastal properties now. One office, centre of York, nice historic city of York, which is a pleasure to work in. And I've been here for, I think it's either 17 or 18 years, started at the bottom, worked my way up, bought into the company in 2013 and purchased the whole of the company in 2018.
Wow.
So it's me at the top, which is quite a bit fun.
That's great. And it's like T-boy to owner. I love that.
Yeah. 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 It's nice because genuinely I know everything that operates and, you know, how the photocopier works to how the kettle works or, you know, whatever. So it's quite nice. There's not really anything can't do. Well, I'm sure the rest of the team might disagree with that.
And it's called, the name of the agency is called Blenkin & Co. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And was there a Blenkin? Was there a person called Blenkin?
The founders was a chap called Tim Blenkin and his wife.
Got it. And you said you're starting to cover coastal properties. Is that a fairly new thing?
Yeah, it's probably something we've developed with a bit of a sub-brand called City Country Coast in the last 5 or 6 years. Oh, there's some beautiful parts of the East Yorkshire coastline. Obviously, there's no West Yorkshire coastline. But some lovely little villages, lots of high-value homes, and really no agents, particularly, obviously, the local guys are there, but there was no sort of specialist to look after the sort of higher value stuff on the coast. I know the coast well, quite passionate about it. So I think that's come through. And we've done a lot of business there, launching probably one of the best coastal houses in Yorkshire this week. So it's nice to vary your repertoire. It's a bit of city in the city of York, bit of stuff in the countryside, some lovely countryside around Yorkshire, as I'm sure you know. And the coast is good as well. Nice bit of variation.
Beautiful. And you're about just over an hour away, I think, from the coast. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And would you ever consider putting like a plus brand in for just coastal? I know you've got your plus brand in at the moment, but would you consider it for just coastal?
The City Country Coast brand did work quite well, although Soho Farmhouse or Soho House seemed to pinch it from me. But it worked quite well. But I think sub brands, I'm not really sure they ever work that well, if I'm really honest. As I say, City Country Coast, we have that on one side of our boards and we have Blenkin & Co on the other. As we get towards the coast, if I'm really honest, I'm not really sure it works that well.
No, okay. I suppose if you had a large coastal home, because you're an hour away from York, or rather the coast is an hour away from York, whether somebody from the coast would consider you more if you felt like you were a coastal agent, that's all.
Yeah, I think there definitely is that. I suppose the confusion around a differing brand, you know, where's your office, what do you do? We've never found York, I suppose, is the county town, so we can cover a massive patch. People won't know, but, you know, from sort of Selby, it's probably hundreds of miles overall. I was in Skipton a couple of weeks ago.
Back off.
Well, you know, all's fair in love and war.
And agency. Yeah, fair enough.
Exactly.
So you tend to sell, I think you said a sweet spot's about 1.1, or does that mean where they start from?
I think the average, I haven't worked it out for a bit, but I think the average is about 1.3, 1.4. So lots of stuff, circa a million. We probably don't do that much under 650 now. But as I say, we've got some nice pretty cottages on at 250, and we do some nice juicy stuff at 2.5, 3.5, 4.5, sort of country estate stuff, which again, we're quite strong at.
Nice. Especially when you've got people like, have you still got Knight Frank there in York?
Yeah, it's a bit of a funny story. When we moved away from Knight Frank, they opened a Harrogate office, which closed last year. They then have opened another sort of Yorkshire branch, but they don't have a high street office here. So again, something that always fascinates me, the sort of high street office versus the non-high street office. They have got an office. It's not as successful as it was when they had a high street office, put it that way.
Okay, interesting. Maybe they are losing their stranglehold, especially with strong local independent agents like you. They can't really go up against you. We took a home off at Knight Frank, and I think it probably was the Harrogate office, and this home was in Windermere or in the Lake District. And they said they didn't really want to do viewings because it was too far to come. And the lady didn't live in the house. And it was a £3.5 million listing. So we can easily pick it up at that point, because obviously we're on the ground. So I think that they are losing their foothold.
Quick question. Would you like the chance to come and see behind the scenes of our agency, Ashdown Jones, here in the beautiful Lake District? To have a look at all our systems and processes and meet the team and go away with ideas, motivated and fired up to put your plans into action? Well, great news. If you just go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTS day, which stands for behind the scenes, you'll see exactly how to book on to our next behind the scenes day here at Ashdown Jones. Best of all, it's free.
Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about today. I feel like
I would agree.
I feel a bit of clickbait coming on here, because what I really wanted to talk about was a LinkedIn article that you wrote a couple of weeks ago now, that the headline of which really caught my eye. I sacked myself on a 3.75 million country house. Now, you and I have had a bit of a conversation about this, and you very kindly agreed to come on the podcast to talk about it. And I'm not here to challenge you, actually, maybe I am, but what I'm here to do is understand your thought processes. And I think a lot of people that are listening to this podcast will really resonate with that idea, whether it's 3.75 or 375,000 or less. The idea of sacking yourself on a home and why you took that decision and what the outcome was, I think is fascinating. We will link to the article in the show notes, but I'm going to give you a couple of snippets from the article so you get an idea for those of you who are listening. So, difficult sale of a country house in North Yorkshire. When one thing goes wrong, it turns into the agent's fault, and you felt that you were being used as a bit of a punch bag. I think that's what you said. You didn't want to make a rash decision because it's a serious fee. Can you just share with us what the fee value was, roughly?
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. It was 1.5%. So it was a
57,000 something.
Did you have some
skin in the game in terms of the marketing you'd put in, or I think you might have said to me once that you charged an upfront fee.
Yeah, we've always charged an upfront fee. and that is twofold. I've personally never believed in a contractual term. The days of estate agents doing 15 or 20 week contracts, I think, is outrageous. And likewise, termination charges, we've talked about this, I think they're absolutely dark ages stuff. And I suppose to eliminate that need of having a contractual term or a termination fee or whatever, we charge for our disbursements. So photographs, floor plans, videos, whatever, there is a fairly modest cost. I mean, you know, for most it's circa £1,000. And that way it keeps the pressure on us. The sort of Damocles is over our head, because we know that at any point, if we don't perform, they can kick us into touch, take the photographs and the media, which is usually copywritten to them, and go elsewhere. So it works really well for us. So yeah, all clients do pay for their own disbursements and media. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So this person had, seller had done that with you, and But they hadn't signed any kind of contract. They started playing up and becoming more trouble than they were worth by the sound of it. And what you did next is what caught my interest the most. You went to your team to ask them whether they thought that you should sack your vendor. And given that it's your £57,000 and not theirs directly, that I think is a bold move, because I suppose my challenge on that, if I was going to challenge you, would be, well, why wouldn't they just say, no, we don't want to continue working with this guy because it's hard work? What were your thoughts behind that and what happened?
It's a good question, actually, because I don't know that I was that methodical about the whole thing when I was thinking about it. You know, it's quite high pressure when things go wrong. And as I say, you know, you are the punch bag. Agents are always the punch bag, aren't we? You know, we are the middlemen. There's a reason we have such a terrible reputation. And also there's a reason why online agents don't work, because you need that punch bag in the middle. We are the people who, the buyers, they punch us, the sellers, they punch us. It's there for a reason. I think in terms of why particularly the WhatsApp poll happened is, I do think it's really important. We're a really close-knit team here. One of the team members jokes about work families and things like that. We spend a lot of time together, and I trust every single one of them. I value their opinion, and I don't want it to sound cheesy, but I just think I knew what I felt, and I didn't want to work with these particular guys. I'd really reached the end of my tether, and it wasn't just an impulse thing. I didn't want it to just be an impulse thing of saying, oh, do you know what? It's not working out, go away. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't making a rash decision. And I suppose ultimately, you know, I wanted to know the others felt in a very similar way. Now, the poll came out that every single one of the team members didn't want to work with this house and this particular family, shall we say, which is really fascinating because, you know, the way we operate, we all do very different things, whether it's negotiation or marketing or, you know, whatever. Everybody had had an experience of this house and the owners, and obviously everybody felt the same. So it was really nice because it galvanized the decision for me. And I suppose, I don't want to answer your next question before it even comes potentially, but what would I have done if they'd have said, yes, keep it? Who knows? It was nice for me because I knew I had the team behind me, and that means a lot.
And do you think that there's a danger that next time you get a difficult client, because there are plenty of them out there, some of them are even in Skipton, then your team may go, actually, we don't want to work with this person without even being asked?
Yes, I suppose. The only thing I would say there is, within our business, yes, of course, there's an element of committee. I'm not sure that's ever, you never want too many committees, do you? But I think the decision lies with me, and I think they respect that. I think, interestingly, since this post on LinkedIn, there has been some chat. You know, for example, we had somebody this week who we've agreed a sale on this morning who was playing up. And one of the team said, if he doesn't do the deal, let's just sack him. And I thought, okay. And there have been 50 plus viewings at this house. Yeah, maybe they're the next. But I suppose, you know, it just goes back to, I think anybody running an agency and a small business, you have to listen to your team. You're only as strong as your team. Doesn't mean you have to go with them. If one member of the team feels strongly, then yeah, I think there's a good reason to make a decision, whatever that decision might be.
Yeah, I suppose that another danger might be, and I'm just trying to put myself in this situation, and we have been in this situation before, don't get me wrong. If you had said, what do you think, guys? And they had all said, no, we don't want to work with him. And you'd given him some kind of reprieve, then I suppose that they might feel sidelined a little bit. So I suppose what I'm saying is that by the time you go to the team, you have probably already decided that you don't want to work with them anymore. And what you're looking for is maybe some team support and some collaboration on that decision.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think there's obviously the element of sheep, isn't there? You know, it's like the Tesco, put your coupons in there, in the clear thing. You know, everybody puts it in the one with the most, which I put it on the one with the least. But there's always an element of following the crowd. Of course there is. And I think you're right. I know what I want to do. And I guess the team probably knew that that's the way it was going. So of course you could say, well, they're just agreeing with the boss. But it, as I say, it just galvanizes it for me. I know that the team are behind me, and I know they're having a similar experience. So I think that's important.
How long has this situation been going on with this family? When did they first instruct you?
First started having conversations a year ago, as you often do with big country houses. They've got quite a big lead time. You often start talking to people a year or sometimes two before launch. So yeah, there was a long lead. I think the interesting thing is you're always trying to look over your shoulder and sharpen things up a bit. There are red flags. And I guess as agents, probably 99% of people listening to your podcast are going to be independent estate agents. And everyone will resonate with this. You realize, and I'm not necessarily going to say what those red flags are, but there are red flags at valuations, even sometimes before the valuations. And I just think you need to get better, or we need to get better as a team at trying to understand, are these guys going to be difficult clients? I think I said on the LinkedIn post, 25% of clients give you 75% grief. I don't know, it might be a 20-80 rule or whatever, but you get the point. You know, you always get the grief from the smallest number of people. They're always the ones who come up with their own asking prices. They're always the ones that throw their weight around. And I think, again, another hazard of working with high-value homes is it's quite heavy pressure. You know, you are at Blenkin & Co. In the time I've been here, we've sold houses two and four, multiple FTSE 100 CEOs, CFOs, board members, company secretaries, executive directors. These are mega people earning millions of pounds a year who negotiate professionally for a living. And I think little old us as estate agents trying to, well, depends whether they're buying or selling, it can be quite tough. And I think you just have to look quite sort of critically and think, okay, you know, are we going to work with these people well? And vice versa, you know, it's a team thing. You know, you'll know from an agency perspective, you get involved with people's lives, their family. It's usually their major, their sort of biggest asset. People always say, oh, when choosing an agent, you should. Well, I'd almost reverse that and say, when an agent's choosing who to work with, they should.
My name's James, and I'm from James Kendall Estate Agents in Bedfordshire. I love the AJ Mastermind Group, mainly because I get to meet with similar like-minded people, get to discuss our challenges that are similar, always come away with new ideas. It's about meeting with great like-minded people and saw some familiar faces in the room that I knew, but equally, I came away feeling like I'd made a really good decision and had a really good impact on the business moving forward.
I really liked what you said about the owners of these homes and your clients, therefore, or potential clients, are professional negotiators. That's a really good way of seeing it. We look at them as generally our guys and not employees.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about a director of a FTSE 100, you know, business, they're not really an employee in the same kind of terms. But a lot of ours are entrepreneurs made good.
Yeah.
So entrepreneurs have had to bootstrap. We've got one guy. He's the funniest guy. He wears his jeans and a t-shirt and the two do not meet in the middle. And he's a guy of advancing years and advancing tummy. And he's a really lovely guy. He's a barra boy, really. And he boasts, he's very proud of the fact that he started his career knocking on doors and trying to lay driveways like a gypsy, you know, when he was just like 14, he left school.
Yeah.
And now he's got, he owns something like 15 of the biggest large sort of host season type campsites in the UK, you know, mega, you know, probably, I don't know, he's worth 10, 11 figures probably.
Wow.
So talking to him was fun and he kept wanting to tell us his story. But what I think was important to us was he needed to work with us in his way. So not by committee, one single point of contact, somebody who would tell him the truth no matter what, somebody who would listen to his stories, somebody who would go above and beyond before hours, after hours, and do what he needed them to do. And I think that that kind of person needs a certain kind of handling. And you do realise very early in that communication, I think, that there are red flags that come up. And as very competitive-natured estate agents that we are, and Phil's in the same office as me now, and he is definitely a very competitive person, he'll want to overcome those red flags, not ignore them, but to challenge them and to raise his status so it's the same as theirs, and to do something that puts him in a position of authority, and so they'll listen to him. And the team can't always do that, so I think that our natural nature is to try and overcome this situation, but our team aren't necessarily expert enough, confident enough, or even positioned well enough to be able to handle those kind of people. And therefore, what we're really doing is we're putting them in the lion's den. We're going, oh, we've handled this guy perfectly. He's a pussycat now in our hands. And then we turn him over to the team and he becomes a lion again because he's used to direct reports or throwing his weight around or getting his own way. And you know.
And so I think that's actually hit the nail on the head in terms of the WhatsApp poll. You know, dare I say, and it's true, you know, these vendors will act differently to a principal. Often they'll act differently to a man or a woman.
Yes.
It's usually an age thing. So I think, it's not I do take your point about Phil, and I think, you know, you do, of course, want to be able to prove your worth. That's the most important thing. I think the very fact you're there and you've got your foot through the door personally means that they probably want to work with you. Our major competitors are probably the corporates, and a lot of them are self-made. We've just worked with a billionaire. He loved the fact that it was an independent firm and we were earning our own coin. And I'm very happy. I work often early in the morning or late at night. My clients generally know if they need me on a Saturday afternoon, they can ring me. But as long as it's meaningful, I'll answer that phone. So it's. I don't think it's about not providing what their expectations are. I think their expectations are wild. And I'm very happy, they're paying a proper fee, I'm very happy to meet those expectations. I think what being a high-end independent estate agent is all about, that's what cuts us away from the corporates who earn a salary, have a company car, they don't buy a paper on a weekend because it's all too much like work. They're not really interested. To them, it's a job. To us, and I mean you, me, and a lot of people who are listening to this, it's a way of life, it's a hobby, it's a lifestyle, as well as being a business, and we on the whole enjoy it. And I think that, probably just to get back to the red flags, it's not necessarily about taking control of the situation. I think it's about being able to work with people you like working with and they like working with you. And actually, when that relationship diminishes or potentially is never there, that's when you just shouldn't be working with these people.
Yeah. I suppose if you looked at it from the other side of the coin, there are groups on Facebook that chat about estate agency and moan about clients, usually from anonymous members. And they say things like, oh, this client is, he's pushing my boundaries, he's being a bit of a pain, he won't take this offer, blah, blah, blah. And then the general consensus, the general advice from, you know, the crowd is, oh, sack him, he's not your ideal client. And I think that's too easy. So that's the other side of the coin where we go, actually, this job's not supposed to be easy. Yes, it's supposed to be enjoyable, but part of that enjoyment, I think, is meeting the challenges of sometimes difficult clients. And sometimes the difficult client is experiencing something in their own life that's making them present as being difficult, when actually they're just they're fearful, or they're disappointed, or they're cross, or their expectations were higher than your meeting. So I think that there is a danger of being too trigger happy and going, right, I'm going to sack anybody that isn't my ideal client through my rose-tinted specs and who I wouldn't want to have a coffee with.
Definitely agree with that. My wife works in healthcare, and often, you know, you'll come home. Thank goodness she doesn't work in property. But, you know, we'll come home and we'll say, oh, you know, Mr. Bloggs is just causing chaos and throwing his weight around, whatever. And she will often say to me, it's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with Blenkin & Co. It's got nothing to do with anything to do with you. He or she might be having problems at home. They might be having a problem with a relative. They might be having marital difficulties. There might be a divorce that we're not told about. There's so many things. And I think you're right. You do have to be careful, because life is tough. Everybody's talking about happiness and work-life balance and all this stuff at the moment. I think what a lot of people forget is life is tough. It's particularly as a business owner, you're taking a lot of risk. You've got a lot of mouths to feed. It's not all roses. So I think, yeah, God, I'd probably sack 20 of them if I had my choice. But it's not like that, is it? But
no.
I think, again, the reason for the LinkedIn post, I was fascinated by what others thought. I really felt I'd done the right thing, knowing the ins and outs of the circumstances. The team agreed with me. And I like LinkedIn. It's good fun. And the responses were phenomenal. As I said, I think it's currently about 25,000 impressions. And we've got instructions off the back of it. So it's clearly resonated with people. I had no idea it would, by the way. But I just think, yeah, I think you do want to be careful. You don't want to be too trigger happy. You've got a business and a reputation. But I suppose, you know, equally, being a bit brutal with your worst clients does send a very clear message. It's interesting how it has resonated with other estate agents. I've had a lot of competitors or whatever you might call them getting in touch saying, you know, goodness, this is absolutely brilliant. And I know through the chitter-chatter of surveyors and mortgage advisors and solicitors and things like that, people are really, in my particular area, my particular network, they've seen the post and they're talking about it. So it's obviously something that does intrigue people and interest people, definitely.
I couldn't have said that about myself, and you've been very eloquent on this topic, so I think that's a really good place to leave it. I'd be really interested to know what other people thought about this. As I say, we will link to the post, so you'll get another flurry of people commenting and liking. I'd also be really interested if anybody has the opposite opinion, because it seemed to me that you have a lot of fan following there with everybody agreeing with you. But I'd like to hear from somebody who has the opposite point of view.
Yeah, and it's a big fee, isn't it? So I suppose, you know, you have to be confident in your business's ability. You know, as you say, to throw away a north of 50 grand fee, you've got to really not want to work with these people. And that's what it had got to. I don't mind admitting that, but people will disagree, and I'm sure they do. A lot of people, and maybe a me of 10 years ago, would have stuck with it and waited out for the fee. Maybe I should have done. Who knows?
You'd have a lot greyer hair now, I'm sure.
More, yeah.
Thank you very much, Edward. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the podcast and talking about this topic. So I think it's a hot topic and I think people will be really interested in it. So thanks so much for your time and good luck with that amazing val on the coast.
Thanks very much, Sam. A pleasure.
If you are feeling frustrated with the lack of growth in your agency and you're impatient to reach those ever-moving goalposts,
then here's your invitation to spend a day with us at Ashdown Jones HQ for a no-holds-barred peek behind the scenes of our agency.
All you need to do is go to ajmastermind.co.uk/BTSday.
And best of all, it's free.